So, Hare Krishna, yes, I'm welcome everyone. We are today technically a few hours away from Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance. It is a very nice opportunity for all of us to come together as devotees of Krishna and hopefully gain some inspirations for our own relationship with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the most recent avatar of Lord Krishna and the founder really of the Hare Krishna movement. I'm aware that we have different languages here, and I do hope that all of my German speaking listeners are able to understand what I say. I know that there are many of you on the internet who are not speaking German, and therefore I speak in English, but let me just address everyone in German also, and then I will switch back to English. Darf ich ganz kurz mal fragen, diejenigen von euch, die Deutsch sprechen, als Muttersprache, könnt ihr mich verstehen? Brauchen wir eine Übersetzung vom Englischen ins Deutsch? Du machst, glaube ich, eine, oder? Ins Russische sogar. Wie ist es, Ori? Du bist okay mit Englisch, oder? Toll, toll. Ingo, du bist auch, ja, richtig. Du warst sogar in Amerika, ne? Gut. Gut. Before I start, I want to say that we celebrate here in Berlin twice, or thrice even. We will start today with what we call the Adivas. It is more in tuning us into Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his appearance festival Gopuni, more tuning really. And tomorrow we will celebrate in the Berlin Temple at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath the festival. I think it starts at 2 p.m. already. 2 p.m. So those of you who are in the net and who want to still come out of the net and into real life experience, tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Berlin Temple, we continue. And simultaneously, because we also want to always take care of our children, simultaneously we have a little festival also at the Dharma Castle. The devotees, the Grihasthas with their children, will have a celebration here. So it will be a lot of celebrations. What to speak of other Vaishnavas who also celebrate. For me, Gopurnima is an event which I can only compare to the event of my previous religious activities in Christianity. We always felt in Christianity, wow, the holy evening, Christmas evening, that's really a day when all of us must be in the church. We do, and we are everywhere all over, but on this day, that's when we have to be good. That's at least, I think, echoing what many Christians feel about Christmas evening. They all want to make sure in some ways, in the church or outside, they want to be connected with the main event of that religion, that is the appearance of their savior. So for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the one who really, let me say, exerts the biggest influence on their individual life as far as the spiritual impact is Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who appeared 500 years plus, there's some extra years you have to add now, and gave something which no other avatar has ever given. That's the claim of the Vaishnavas. He gave a very, very, doable path for the people in this age of Kali. It's doable, you can really do it, to purify the heart to such a degree that you will feel ecstatic love of God inside. So it's a very doable path which he gave, and therefore he is called in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words our Eastern Savior. Bhaktivinoda Thakur studied Christianity, and then he said there's a Western Savior, but then there is an Eastern Savior. He said like this. So on this day, tomorrow, and we already start today celebrating, I feel it's very important for all of us to make something like an inventory in our own spiritual lives and see where are we really in relationship to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Wherever we are, that's very good. You know, it's not about we are here or we are there, we are very surrendered or we are not so surrendered or whatever. I know we have to just be a little bit aware on this day, where do we stand? Because it is from conscious awareness that you can make spiritual progress, not from just being absolutely dull and mindless and unattentive to the most important subjects in your life. That is your inner growth, your spiritual growth, and for us devotees, your constant engagement with the Lord and where you are. So it's a wonderful day, a wonderful opportunity. I see also that you have come here into this temple room in greater numbers than you usually come. We have also two wonderful guests from the middle of Germany, who made all this journey to here up to north to Brandenburg, and welcome everyone of you. I will just sing a little bit before we start.
Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I was inspired by the subject which I would like to discuss in today's Gaura Lila evening. When I was standing at the banks of Mother Ganga a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago I think, during my last visit to India, which I call a brief moment in eternity. I had, due to circumstances, I could only stay for 3 days in Sri Dhammayapur, and one morning, it was the day before my departure, I had a particularly deep and moving revelation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before the main altar, you know, where the deity stands, which is really very high, and it looks like molten gold, very effulgent and very, let me say, communicative. In Bengal they say nowadays, if you want to meet God, go to Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Mayapur, in that Chaitanya Chandradaya Mandir. It's a very, let me say, active deity. And I was so, let me say, so moved by the experience that I decided to leave the temple after the Mangala Arati. And I went with my bicycle to the bank of Mother Ganga to be a little bit for myself and digest the experience. And when I arrived at my favorite spot, it's where there are some palm trees, and you can just climb down some rocks and then you touch the Ganga. When I arrived at my favorite spot, it was full with very loud Bengalis. And I thought, well, this is not the right place to digest a spiritual experience. So I went up the, down the Ganga, and found myself a lonely place. Then when the sun rose, I was there, the banks of the Ganga, and I just was there. Do you have this experience sometimes in your life that you just want to be? You don't want to think about anything. You don't want to... You just want to unclutter your life, make your life simple, and just be. So I was there sitting. And then... I couldn't sit for long because just before me, one of these huge Ganga dolphins, they're huge. They are from here to there, but they are really, they are like small whale fishes. He came out of the Ganga, like, I didn't see his face. Normally you don't see the face, but I saw his curved back, his monster big. It looked first like Nessie from Scotland. It really looked frightening. And then somehow it went like this, and with a long tail splattered on the water and gave me a full shower. I remember. And I immediately rose to my feet. Not completely wet. I mean, it was tolerably wet, but quite wet. And looked to Mother Ganga. And I always think there are two ways to live your life. You think everything is an accident, what happens, meaningless, no, nothing to do with me. Or you think most of the things don't happen by accident. So I decided for the second option and thought a little deeper. I was not satisfied any longer to just be, but I thought, who am I really, and what do I really have, what is my relationship to this place, which is somehow so important that it moves me to the deepest core of my being. And more, what is my relationship of the personality for whom this place, the place, what it is? What is my relationship to Gauranga Mahaprabhu? I had this question. Therefore, in introducing this Gaura Leela evening, I said, I wanted to give you a tip. Please move out of that unconscious dullness, diese unreflektierte Flachheit oder Oberflächlichkeit, we say in German language, but to ask yourself the question, what is my relationship to Gauranga Mahaprabhu at this moment? And I believe if you ask this question today, and especially tomorrow, you might get some surprising answers. For me, it was wonderful. I asked myself this question, and how to describe a spiritual experience which happens. I think the best is not to describe it, because the moment you put it into words, it loses some of its brilliancy, its aliveness, and its inconceivable nature. But to be safe, I will just use very few words. All of a sudden, I felt the veil covering my perception was opening, and I thought a lot of, I saw in my heart, it was not a thinking, I saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's various activities or leelas at the bank of Mother Ganga. I think when someone develops a greater spiritual sensitivity, his sensitivity will tell him more about people than a normal person perceives when he looks at someone. He downloads somehow a lot of that person's state of being. But as you awaken to more spiritual sensitivity, you will also understand more about the place where you are. You will understand about, you will somehow be in tune with the atmosphere, and you will know what is in the air, so to say. And also, you will get a greater sensitivity for the past of the place, not just the present, but the past. What happened in the past? And I can only say, I saw really the different pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He walked with his kirtan group to the house of Srivas Pandit. There in Srivas Pandit's house, he had these super ecstatic kirtans, where he would sometimes cry so loud and stand for 6 hours calling Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. Here he went to Jagai and Madai with his discourse, ready to kill one of the two offenders. And it is here where they were forgiven. And all these pastimes, one after the other, came in here. This happened with Kolavecha Shrita. It was somehow an opening. I think you all know what I'm talking about, because isn't it when you look at someone, you can sometimes tell what is in his mind? Yoko Ono used to say, "I may be very small, but I carry a whole universe inside." Wife of some, no, it's an artist. So sometimes you know, yes, you can find out, yes, yes, there's something. I see you, or in New York language, I got you, man. You know, so on. But the same holds true for places. You may enter a place, and husband and wife are there, and you know, my God, there was a war just two minutes ago, and you can see the positions, and but you can also, when you develop more sensitivity, enter into a place, and that's why we like holy places so much and go on pilgrimages regularly, because it is here where we contact a whole field of spirituality. So many saints lived there. So Krishna appeared to so many, and I will tell you about one this evening, and so on. So then, when I was thinking like this, or when I was in this mood, and at the bank of Mother Ganga, I thought, well, I have to. I will give two lectures related to Lord Chaitanya this year, one in the castle and the second in the temple. What is most alive in my own relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which I could share with my audience? And I isolated two subjects. I isolated more, actually, but two subjects which I feel confident to discuss, and therefore these two lectures, if for those of you who listen to lectures on internet, these are connected. They are part one and part two. So good. This is just for introduction. My entry into this subject was the way I relate to any person is by something which connects me to the person. Maybe a friendship, maybe a common past, maybe an interest in the life of that person. Maybe a quarrel with that person, but I'm connected with the person by something which is there, an immaterial bridge, you could call it, which makes the relationship alive. We all know when that bridge breaks, the relationship breaks. There's nothing to talk any longer about. There's nothing to feel any longer about. There's only a tired good morning, good night, which we have. But if there's a bridge, something which connects me with that person, then there will be a lot of things going on. So I had to ask myself the question, what connects me with Gauranga Mahaprabhu? And my answer to this question is a promise which he made, a promise which has been repeated over the many years, through the different traditions, through the different lineages or paramparas. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he expresses this promise in my mind in a very concise way. He said, Prabhu Agnyai Koro E Shloka Chana Avasya Paibetabe Shri Krishna Charan. If one follows the principles given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and simply follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, he will certainly achieve the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So here the promise is very clear. Mahaprabhu gave some principles, and if one follows them, one will get Sri Krishna Charana, the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And that's a promise. I also, like all of you, and like, I believe, almost every human being, wants to come close to the Lord. I mean, even Jean-Paul Sartre, the atheist, in utter frustration said, he can't get that out of the human mind. He wants, he is a religious being. He wants a higher connection, and so on. So here's a promise. This is, follow these principles, and you will get the lotus feet of the Lord. It's a promise. It's a promise given with full consciousness of the implication. My next step was, yeah, then what are his principles? What do I have to do? And I found answers in the scriptures, and I would like to read a few to you this evening. Because maybe if you reconnect or connect with these principles, you will also feel closer to the lotus feet of Krishna, and check for yourself if the promise which was given by Mahaprabhu works. Mahaprabhu's way, of course, to connect with the Lord is through the chanting of the holy name. I will say it for my sleepy audience in a German way, die Endstation aller Sehnsucht. That's a friend of mine, a professor, who called the chanting the end station or final station of the human longing. Because when you chant, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held, then you are in the presence of Krishna. Even if you don't know that you are. That's something, no? The final station of all human longing is to be with God. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it simple. He said, sing the holy name. And because Krishna is identical with the holy name, you are in the presence of God. You are, like the widows of Vrindavan say, in paradise when you chant. Simple. That is there. You may not yet understand it like maybe 95% of the Hare Krishna people. They may not understand this is it. But I have met many devotees of the Lord who said like this. I remember one particular incident. I was in Poland at the Woodstock Festival. We were drawing the huge cart of Lord Jagannath through all these bierselige hippies. Poland, beer is the intoxication. We went through this ocean of intoxicated people, and we were chanting, and all of a sudden the Swamiji next to me, His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj, just went on his knees. And he said to me, Maharaj, it doesn't get any better than this. And I thought, really? Some hippie had just He has danced a lot, and beer had fallen over me. I thought, really? It doesn't get any better than this. And later I asked him, what did you mean? And he said, just think about this. These people are singing the holy names. They had no earlier contact with Chaitanya, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this promise, if you chant the holy name, then you are together with him and you are together with Krishna. And he said, do you remember Prabhupada in London, 1900 so-and-so? There was a Ratha Yatra festival, and Prabhupada danced for all these 10 kilometers, although he was ill before. He just danced and danced and danced. And when the driver afterwards drove him to the temple, Prabhupada turned to the driver and said, did you see them? There was Chaitanya. There was Nityananda. Did you see? The driver said, he didn't want to spoil the atmosphere, you know. Didn't want to be a Spielverderber, a Leela spoiler. but this is what the promise is of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He's there in the kirtans, and the devotees who chant, they should know Krishna is there. They may be still a little covered and they may not perceive that, but it doesn't change the fact. I remember once after an initiation, four of my godbrothers who had just received Harinam Diksha went to Srila Prabhupada and said, this is it. We thought we are liberated now and in love of Godhead, but we are hungry and mental. Prabhupada said something very nice. He said, when you were drowning in an ocean and a ship comes by, takes you out of the ocean, you're put on deck first. And then after some time, while you're still on deck, unconscious, you think you are drowning still. Nothing has changed. And you are unconscious. But you are on deck, and it's only a question of time before you wake up and realize you are no longer drowning. You are out of the ocean. So, and this is the process of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, chanting the holy name and being together. And he made his point on the basis of the ancient tradition. He said, Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. In this age of Kali, Krishna advances in his holy name. Simply by chanting those holy names, the whole universe is delivered. Other statements say there is no other Dharma in this age of Kali. The holy name alone is the essence of all mantras, and it is the secret hidden meaning of all revealed scriptures. Mahaprabhu would say there are 9 processes of bhakti, but the most important of them is the chanting. If someone chants trying to avoid the offenses, he will easily get Krishna Prema. nine processes, and one is the essence, because it has the ability to give Krishna prema, or love of Krishna. The way this happens is explained. The first, to my knowledge, who explained it is Jiva Goswami, who saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was still very small. And this theme was later picked up by different acharyas. An image or an example was given to us, which tells you how something which in the very beginning you do not really realize that it's so important has the potency or potentiality to reveal to you the highest goal. The example has been given of a flower. When a flower is in the budding stage, also nur eine Knospe, you can't see the form of the color of the flower, you can't see the other qualities of the flower, the color and whatever, yes, and this fragrance, all these qualities are still hidden in a potential form in the flower. So when you chant, this is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the flower of the holy name gradually blossoms and becomes very fragrant. Then Lord Krishna's pastimes in the eight periods of the day become visible to the chanter. It's from Harinam Chintamani, 15th chapter, verse 50, if you want to read it. So, therefore, those who are awakened, who are no longer, you know, on the deck just thinking they are drowning, those who don't dream the impossible dream any longer to become happy in this world, but those who are awakened, understanding that the soul only will be happy in the or fulfilled in the divine embrace with the Lord, they only chant. That's the end station. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, or Govinda Gopal. Many chants. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not only chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in his kirtans. Many, Sri Krishna Govinda, Sri Krishna Govinda, Vanamali, Sri Rama, 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 Rama. It would get really intense. Mukunda Hari. You know, and many names of the Lord. He would chant like this. And it became so fragrant, so tasteful, that the devotees would exclaim, I have seen, I have seen, I have seen. So on. But the promise doesn't say just chant Hare Krishna. Chant it by understanding some principles. Now, these principles are explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how you can make the chanting work for you. The chanting is working really when the clouds are removed from Krishna. At the moment, there is a cloud bank of forgetfulness between us and Krishna. And this cloud bank is fed by our aparadhas against the Lord, our offenses, which all come out from this one thing, turning away. I remember very much this analogy when I went to see my Ayurvedic doctor, Dr. Raju, in Delhi. And I was really, believe it or not, I'm sometimes not so healthy. I have a weak constitution, and I was really down, and I said, oh, I'm so sick. And Dr. Raju said to me, no, you are not. You're just holding on to your sickness. You are like the sun, he said. But now there are some clouds before you. And you are here so that we remove the clouds. I never forgot this, because he is a very spiritual person, and he meant it on two levels. The physical level, the emotional level, and also the spiritual level, physio-emotional level. We in Ayurveda, it's dealt as one level, because the body is only a manifestation of the mind. So, and this is also the situation in spiritual life. You are all like, you are part of Krishna. You are Sat, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. That's your constitutional position, your constitution. But now there are a few clouds before you. And these clouds need to be removed. These clouds are fed and increased and built up like an impressive cloud bank by the anattas. And I know we will have in 1 week Ratnabhushan Prabhu, who will tell us a little bit how to approach the removal of the clouds. Not just from chanting, but from other sides as well, which might be interesting for some of you who want to be cloudless or cloud-free. But here I want to deal with this from the spiritual perspective, and to come and to stop feeding these clouds, which are between us and our original nature as blissful servants of Krishna. There are principles you need to know how to conduct yourself in your spiritual life. And of course, this is what he said, what Mahaprabhu said. I'm saying of course because many of you know.
Trinadapi sunichena taro iva sahishuna amagina maladena kirtaniya sarahari.
This verse was spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the end of his pastimes. It appears in the Antya Lila. It's from the from his famous six instructions, Shikshastakam, and he spoke them to his two, if you so want, main persons, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, while he was in a very ecstatic state of Krishna consciousness. He was very, very ecstatic. He was preparing himself to leave this world, and he spoke with a jubilation. Jubile Harsha is the Bengali. He was really on fire, you know. He was ablaze. This is what he said. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who's more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name. This is how it works. This is how you can do it. And then he continued. This is often not mentioned, but he continued to speak. He said, these are the symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Listen. Although he is very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground. This doesn't mean he has that. When I read Sigmund Freud, this was known as the minority complex. It was nothing like that. It is a devotee. The mood is, I just read this in another shastra, the mood of true humility is, the Lord is so great. He's so wonderful, and I want his help. And with this, he creates a very wonderful tension in his mind. What so great is my Lord, and I'm really in need of his favors. Ich bin bedarf seiner Begünstigungen, seiner Gnadengeschenke. And then there is in the relationship something which is called an eagerness. It's one of the aspects of a healthy relationship, a healthy spiritual relationship. You are eager for the Lord. You're not indifferent towards him. Gleichgültig. Ne? You are very eager for his mercy. And with this happy, wenn der Spannungsbogen der Psychologie so aufgebaut ist, nicht, da ist der wunderbare Herr. Denn hier bin ich und wir können eine Beziehung haben. Ich möchte eine Beziehung haben. I want his kripa, his karuna. Then something flows in the relationship. So this is the first. Humbleness. The Chinese always say, they have a saying, humility is a vision of reality. I think when you study the Asiatic culture and understand how humility in that culture is a great value, and you know how they are like this. They say it's a vision of reality. A hybris, to be self-conceited in the world of your ego productions, is not real life. It is something unnecessary for your spiritual development. The next thing is, like a tree, Mahaprabhu says he tolerates everything in two ways. Aha, we learn here, not just tolerating, there are two ways of tolerating. Let's see what this is. When a tree is cut down, it does not protest. And even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water. This is a principle which is very high for us Westerners, but it really means you are not becoming super sensitive about the mistakes of others and don't protest whenever they are doing something which slightly hurts your fragile personality. You don't protest. And by the way, if you learn the simple art, the karmically induced offenses which come from your way from your, it come towards your way are leaving you. To put it more simple, if you don't always justify yourself and protest when so on, but you are tolerant, then it stops that people will misunderstand you and attack you. I have learned this in my life because by my astrological figure, some people will like me very much, but there are a few people who will just hate me, that they only want to kill me. That is my astrological situation. And I have learned in my own life to understand this: these people who hate me are also friends, because in a way they help me to not become too wild or too, you know, whatever. This is Krishna's mercy, and my karma comes to me through these people. They are benefactors. It is not that they are bad. And so on. So this is a position which is very good for spiritual life, and by the way, it helps you to get peace in your life, because after some time they stop. Normally, or they do it when they die, then they stop. But they will, it will stop at one point. The karma will stop. A second thing is how you are tolerant is you don't always complain. The second is you deliver, the tree delivers its fruits, flowers, and whatever else it possesses to anyone and everyone. It tolerates scorching heat and torrents of rain, yet it still gives shelter to others. This you can understand very, very good when you are in India. Wow, it gets so hot, and there's such heavy monsoon. But the tree, who suffers the same thing, heat and monsoon, says, "Come under my shelter." And this is what a spiritual person should also do. May I ask you a question? What have you done today for others? No, I'm real. I mean it. Is it a foolish question? Mm-hmm. What have you consciously done for others? If there is something, if you still have time after this class, you can do something and do something for others. This is so important for spiritual people. The Buddhists have a whole thing about compassion. They are often more compassionate than the Vaishnava trees. there is a story about one tree. The tree was standing there. It was extremely hot. And the tree also felt it. Then there was a human being, and the tree said, "Yeah, I have shade. You can come." And moved its arms a little, and the human being went under the tree and lay down, put his head on the root. Then the tree saw a dog. He was also suffering. The tree also felt, "Is there shade? I have shade. You can come." And the dog came and also laid down. Then the human being said, "Get away here, you're dirty." And the tree thought, "Let me never become a human being." Hare Krishna. What have you done, tree like Vaishnavas, today? Kanupriya has put a very nice theater for all of us together. Hmm. My dear Tai Weber home and Tai Weber super excellent, what have you done in the mood of compassion today for the suffering humanity? It's a good question. Two things. Be tall, don't be so much protesting always, and somehow be a giver. So then Mahaprabhu ends, although a Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he is prideless. Wow! Although Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he is prideless and gives all respects to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. This is how you think of others. Krishna is in their heart. Let me give them respect. If one chants the holy name of Lord Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love for Krishna's lotus feet. This is the principles. If you follow this, if you want to find out and read in your own time, where it is Antyalila chapter 20 from 21, verse 21 onwards. This will work very much. And I want to end by telling you an example of such a Vaishnava. His name is Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri came to Vrindavan. He traveled all by himself. He was very, very renounced. He didn't like to stay with people. He always stayed by himself. A lonely walker through the forests. A great saint. His disciples, for instance, Advaita Acharya, have spread Krishna consciousness like anything. But he was not a public figure. He was extremely renounced and removed. Madhavendra Puri. So once, when he was in Vrindavan, he sat alone in the jungle. He felt very hungry because he hadn't eaten the whole day. And Krishna arrived. Krishna came and said, "Hey Madhavendra Puri, what type of sannyasi are you? The normal sannyasis go out and beg madhukari, but you are hungry and you are not going anywhere to beg your food. What is wrong with you?" Madhavendra Puri had just chanted. He had not thought about going, and it was not his principle. He was as tolerant as a tree. He never asked anyone for water like the tree. He just didn't want others to serve him. He said, "Lala, how do you know that I'm hungry? Maybe I'm not hungry." The little boy said, "In our village, we know everything. There were some ladies, they were washing clothes at Govindakund. You know Govindakund. You have seen the ladies washing their clothes?"
"Yes."
"Yeah. They were washing clothes at Govindakund. And they told me, you are sitting here and you are hungry. You have not eaten the whole day. They have seen. You're sitting from the morning, you sit in the noontime, you sit in the afternoon time. You don't ask anyone for food. So I have come. I'm a cowherd boy. Here I do my duty. And here you have my pot of milk, to drink milk at least, very good milk. I will come in the evening and collect the pot, the empty pot. All right, said Madhavendra Puri, and he drank that pot of milk, and as he drank it, he became so ecstatic, like he had never been before. He was thinking in the night time, who was this boy? Yes, he has given me the ecstasy milk. Modern language. He has given me milk plus ecstasy that was in there. Who is this boy? And then he was thinking, oh, this boy was so good, and he spoke so sweet, and he was so effulgent, and he's always in my heart, and I can't even think of anyone else than him. And then he fell asleep in the morning, and then the Lord came to him in the dream and said, it's me. I have come and given you the milk. I have a request. I'm here nearby. I'm under the earth. I'm very hungry. I gave you milk. Now it's your turn to take care of me. Go to the village, get some villagers, and take me out of the earth and feed me. Feed me. I'm so hungry. So Madhavendra Puri, with love in his heart, went in the next morning to the village Anyur, and he convinced some Brijbasis to come and help find Gopal in the bushes. They had to dig for him, and they got him out. But this is an example of a devotee who is surrendered to Krishna. Now we are surrendered to our plans. But he is a devotee who is so surrendered. That is a level which many of us are aspiring for. He doesn't even beg milk. He knows the Lord has promised, he is my maintainer, he will take care of me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says those who want to perfect their chanting usually practice the path of Sharanagati. That is, and one of the items, the embodiment of this whole concept is in accepting the Lord as one's maintainer, and praying to him, accept me as your own, accept me in your fold, accept me as your. So this is an example of a tree like Vaishnava, who has not requested anyone, who has not protested. Our line is dependent on Madhavendra Puri. He's the root of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, because his disciple Ishvara Puri became the guru of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And this is an amazing example. My dear devotees, on this Gopunim day, I have a task for you. I will say something which tickles your nerves in vehement protest. Surrender to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The Sanskrit word Sharanagati means something else than you have in your mind. Sharanagati means to, gati means to go, to approach. Sharana, someone for shelter. Go towards Mahaprabhu. Go closer. You may not be in the most spiritually alert position of your life. No problem. I mean, yes, it's a problem, but not for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a problem for you, not for him. If you come to him, whoever you are, and you turn to him, chanting the holy name, trying to meditate about how you can get the methodology right, you will see how the clouds which keep you away from Krishna the clouds which make your life so difficult by making it so complicated with so many unnecessary worries and so on, it will go and you will approach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because we are young devotees, we may also have to take care of the clouds from another perspective. We may just understand what are the patterns which don't help me any longer in my thought, and we have to see how to dissolve them. But as far as the big problem to be removed from Krishna, to be not alert or conscious of Krishna, to not feel a relationship with Him, that is removed if you learn to chant the holy name according to the methodology of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And in this way, you will have a wonderful life and a wonderful Gopunim. I will end my presentation. Wow, on time! I'm on time! thank you very, very much. I feel this is the promise of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I have put my whole life on this, and I know it works. That's all I can say. And this binds me as an individual to the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and I'm very, very eager to celebrate twice. Today comes to an end, but tomorrow it starts anew. Two o'clock. We will celebrate. We will just sing for a few more minutes, and then I think there will be prasadam for the devotees. Thank you all very much, and Hare Krishna. Oh, this was good. The little higher, the little higher. From Ananda Chaitanya. We learned this melody from a devotee called Ananda Chaitanya, the blissful Chaitanya, and we thought it's the right melody for this evening. I would request all of you, as you chant, focus on Gauranga. It's about a relationship, the bridge. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Thank you. Aleluya.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all very, very much. Thank you also for the internet devotees and the devotees who filmed so expertly with a bright lamp. Hare Krishna. Have a nice evening still. I think some prasadam will be served. And see you again. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.